Georgetown on this beautiful day. My name is Dave Maxwell. I'm the Associate Director for the Center for Security Studies in the School of Foreign Service here at Georgetown. On behalf of our Director, Professor Bruce Hoffman, we'd like to extend our thanks for everyone's participation today as we look at a very important and, I think, very timely topic, the U.S. rebalance to Asia. I apologize for the late start this morning. As you know, like for every conference, there's always changes and with speakers and the like, and so I apologize. We got off to a little bit late start. We didn't want to change the panel times because of we know everybody's scheduled kind of tied to those panels. You know, throughout 2012 and so far in 2013, we've seen some interesting and challenging times. We've seen the leadership transitions in Asia, and we've had another tough election here at home. We've witnessed and experienced territorial disputes throughout the region. The economic situation remains fluid, and of course, the U.S. fiscal situation and sequestration certainly call into question the United States' ability to execute the Asia rebalance. And people perhaps rightly ask, is the Asia rebalance even feasible? Of course, from a security perspective, some of the world's best and largest militaries are found in the Asia-Pacific region. The Pacific is a maritime theater, with large ground and air forces, and of course the increasing capabilities of anti-access and area denial systems have the potential to and really are significantly area access and area denial systems have the potential to significantly alter the way militaries operate. And of course tensions on the Korean Peninsula remain high, not only with the continued North Korean missile and nuclear tests and provocations, but both the threat of conflict and potential for regime collapse always looms over the peninsula, and if either occur, there will be significant regional and global effects. Now, this conference brings together scholars and practitioners to provide an assessment of the U.S.-Asia rebalance 1 year after the release of the U.S. Defense Strategic Guidance, a little more than a year ago. And hopefully it will allow policymakers and strategists and our students to hear critical assessment from practitioners and regional experts. What we hope to achieve is a critical look at the U.S.-Asia rebalance from both a U.S. and an Asia-Pacific perspective. We hope that these scholars and practitioners can provide insights on what has transpired in the past year and what the future holds for policy and strategy. In short, this is an opportunity to do a self-assessment of the Asia rebalance and for our friends, partners, and allies to share their candid views and assessment of U.S. policy and strategy. And please note that this conference will be on the record, it will be recorded, and a conference report will be published. And as you may have noticed, we have a number of members of the media, the Fourth Estate here present, which I think is an indication of how important these issues are to all of us. I would like to welcome our distinguished guests from Australia, Japan, Korea, China, and, of course, all of those right here from D.C. And we appreciate those that have traveled a long distance here to share their views with us. And we've been able to assemble an outstanding group of panelists and chairs to lead us through these very complex issues. Now, this conference is a collaboration among four organizations that focus on the Asia-Pacific and security issues: the Center for Security Studies here at Georgetown, the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington, D.C., the United States Studies Center in Australia, and the Asian Studies Program here at Georgetown. Most importantly, this conference is happening because of the generosity of the Philip and Patricia Bilden Asian Security Studies Fund, who so generously provided the funding for this conference. We're going to have four important panels today, as you can see in the agenda. First, we'll hear the American views on the rebalance with a focus on strategy and resources. Then we'll discuss the rebalance and U.S. allies. The third panel will look at the effect of the rebalance on U.S. and China relations. And finally, we'll hear the perspectives of the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. And we are fortunate that Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asia and Public Policy, Mark Lippert, will be here to provide his views during lunch. And finally, we'll have closing remarks from the Honorable Robert Hill, the former Australian Minister of Defense and now adjunct professor at the United States Studies Center. And before I introduce our opening speaker, I would like to make some brief administrative announcements. Each of our four panels will be 1 hour, and the panelists will make their initial remarks, and then we'll have question and answer. We'll have students with microphones to bring them to you, so please raise your hand and be recognized, and then ask your question after you receive the microphone. Coffee and refreshments, as you know, as well as lunch, will be provided in the foyer area, and we ask, if possible, to consume food and beverages outside the auditorium. And for members of the media, we'd ask that you please refer all media inquiries and requests for interviews outside of the formal presentations and question and answer to the appropriate public affairs or media relations person of their representative agencies or respective agencies. And finally, since we have four panels in a relatively short amount of time today, we'll begin each promptly in accordance with the agenda, so we ask that you return to your seats at the time following each break. And now I'd like to introduce our opening speaker. We are honored to have the Senator the Honorable David Johnston, the Shadow Minister of Defense from Australia, to open the conference. Senator Johnston has extensive experience in the Senate working on defense issues, among many others. And since 2007, he has been a member of the Shadow Ministry as Shadow Minister of Resources, Energy, and Tourism until September 2008, when he was appointed Shadow Minister for Defense and elevated to the Shadow Cabinet. And I can think of no better way to begin the conference than to hear the views of one of our esteemed allies. Please join me in welcoming Senator Honorable David Johnston.